We're in Revelation. There's this cosmic battle that's going on around us. This battle in which Satan is constantly seeking to overthrow the power and the authority of God. We see this throughout Revelation. I want to read chapter 12 now of Revelation. That is where we are beginning today. So listen to this word from the Lord and from this scripture. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as they shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with its torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing up the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. Here in Revelation 12 is this picture of this pregnant woman who's with child and has been sent by God to the earth. As this is looked at and talked about, this child is often looked at as a Messiah or the Messiah who has come to bring life and hope to the earth. So there's this woman who gives birth, this woman who's pregnant, who God has made pregnant, and in some ways is that representation of Mary, who is pregnant with the child Jesus. And then there's this great red dragon that comes and is waiting for the birth of this child, that he may snatch up this child and may destroy this woman. So we have this going on in our world, this evidence, this statement about this battle that's going on, this battle between Satan and between God, this battle in which Satan is wanting to gain authority and power, and God is at work. This evidence of the ongoing work of Satan is his idea and desire to have the power and authority that goes with God and goes to God. And then the evidence of God's power and authority. And I think it's interesting that God gave this woman the wings of the eagle to fly away and to go. And he had prepared a place for her, 1,260 days. Now, three and a half times, whatever that is, but a time away. It could be very similar to that time of Jesus' ministry. If we look at that and we think about that, we don't know what kind of significance that may have. But it's that is identified as this time. And so she flies away to this desert place that has been prepared for her, for her safety. And then in addition to that, the child, as soon as it's born, is snatched up by God into heaven and is in the throne place with God in heaven. So Satan, again, has been thwarted in his attempt to destroy the power of God, to take what God is doing and do something else with it. There's this cosmic battle that is taking place. So where then does this battle take place? I think it's significant to ask and answer that question. This battle is taking place both in heaven and on earth. It's happening in both places. The dragon pursued this woman on earth and this child. Our fight is against not only flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We need wisdom to see and understand that the flesh and blood enemies are around us, enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, enemies whom Satan is sending to destroy our faith. We need wisdom to see the flesh and blood enemies. So as we look around us, there's been much talk about who and what those enemies are. We need to be praying and seeking God for his wisdom to understand and know what those enemies are. Then there's this dragon. And the dragon was not only in battle on the earth, but the scripture says the dragon then went to heaven to pursue battle against God and his angels. So there's this cosmic battle that's going on, this spiritual battle. And, you know, we've talked about before the reality that this battle isn't necessarily a battle that in which you and I are putting on armor and fighting against Satan. However, we are, and we're going to come back to that a bit later. But there's this battle between God and Satan, this cosmic battle between the powers and the spirits and angels of Satan, and the power and the spirits and the angels of God, both in heaven and on earth. Then, what's the result of the battle? And we see the results of the battle. Satan is defeated. Satan is cast out of heaven. After he goes back to heaven and there's this battle, Scripture says he's thrown out of heaven with his angels and he's thrown to the earth. And it says that Satan now knows that his time is short in terms of what he has to do to try to reap and steal those who have faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's people who are here on earth, Satan accuses God's people day and night. Have you felt this kind of accusation against your faith? Have you at times felt like, man, why do I believe? Have you at times felt this, whatever it is that's directed toward you, that's trying to steal your faith and your hope? This is what Satan's doing now on the earth. This is what he's about. He accuses us day and night. And they're false accusations. You don't have faith. You did this without prayer. Why did you not pray? Well, because you don't have faith. Accusations. This is what Satan's doing. He's throwing these accusations at us, trying to destroy our faith. Satan wants to discourage and destroy our faith. He accuses us day and night. Satan wants to destroy, discourage our faith. And he's doing this day and night. We are in a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that we need to recognize and understand. Satan pursues the woman and God protects her. Satan is angry because of his losses and he makes war against God's people. So this is what's happening. God's making war. I'm sorry. Satan is making war against us, God's people. Satan is actively making war against us. We need to understand that. We also then need to see that God's people are more than conquerors. And how does this happen? Verse 11 of what I just read, through the blood of the Lamb. So how is it that we have the possibility of being more than conquerors? Through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Through the blood of the Lamb, we are more than conquerors. And then secondly, through the testimony of faith and our lives of faithful obedience to God. Also in verse 11, the testimony of faith. How this week have you given testimony to your faith? Folks, one of the ways that we are conquerors is to give testimony of our faith. What does that mean? It means talking about our faith with people around us. You know, there are multiple times a week in my life that I'm interacting with people where I have opportunity to give testimony to my faith. This is one of the ways that we become conquerors, that the scripture says. Then also, it says, through faithful obedience, even unto death, martyrdom. I don't know if any of us will need to find ourselves in a place where we may give up our lives for our faith. But it's possible. One of the ways that is spoken of here in terms of that faithful witness, in terms of being conquerors, is that willingness to be faithful unto death. The willingness to give up our lives for the sake of our faith in our Lord and our God. We can be more than conquerors. Another challenge then, as we move on into chapter 13, is coming from Satan, and it is an attack at our human desire to be a winner. I'm going to read chapter 13 now. Listen, and then I'll talk more about that. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is going to into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them up to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give birth to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. This last is one of the things that often is talked about in relationship to end times, this number 666. So we come to this chapter 13. And Satan again challenges. And he looks like a winner. I like to be a winner. When KU made it to the finals, guess where I was? Guess what I was doing? Guess what most of my family did after the end of the first half? Not me. And at the end of the game, as KU won the national championship, yeah, I loved it. That's a picture of all of us, of every person in the world. Everyone wants to be a winner. Everyone wants to be associated with a winner. Everyone wants to be at a place where they can say, I'm a winner, or I support that winner. And you see what the scripture says about this beast? You see what it's saying about this beast? It's saying that people are going to look at this beast and see that it can do anything, seemingly anything, that its power is beyond any other. And the scripture says the whole earth is going to follow this beast and worship it. You see, this typifies the mindset of our world. It typifies my mindset, and it's a warning to me in relationship to where I look and what it is that I desire and want more than anything else in all of life and in this world. Do I want to be associated with Satan and that beast who appears in the world to be winning? Or am I going to stand solidly with my faith grounded in the truth of God's word and in Jesus Christ? I know I have that desire. I know it's something that others have as well. I know it's something that is there. And so there are these lights flashing for me. Warning, warning, warning. Watch out. Be aware. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 13. It was allowed to make war against the saints and to conquer them. Interesting. It was allowed to make war against the saints and conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. Authority given it and all who dwell on the earth worshiped it, will worship it. Beware. Beware. Don't get sucked into the deception of the power and the authority of people and nations. I want to go to another scripture. This from the Psalms and David. Psalm 20. I want to read verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 20. It's one of the scriptures that I go to often when I think of our world and I think of my own life, this ministry. David says it like this. Now this I know, that's David speaking, this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his holy heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. And here it is. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and we stand firm. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in political parties and presidents and dictators and leaders. I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. You see, it's easy for us to be brought into this place where we think a person is going to be our Redeemer. It's a lie of Satan. It's what Satan's wanting to do to us. He's wanting to pull us into these places where we're deceived by the fantastic things that this beast can do, even bringing down fire from heaven. Do you remember the other place in Scripture where fire came down from heaven? Do you remember that place where the prophet built the altar and there were all of these false prophets around and this one prophet of God built the altar, put the animal on the altar, put a trench of water around the altar, and prayed to God, and God sent fire from heaven and consumed it all. Do you remember what happened? All of those false prophets, all of those evil, satanic, religious leaders, the scripture says they cried out to their gods. And they cried out and they cried out. They cut themselves. They wept. They laid on their faces. What happened? Nothing. Now we see here, there's this false prophet. There's this dragon. There's this beast who's coming. What's one of the things that the scripture says he's going to do? He's going to bring fire from heaven. Satan is going to do everything that he can to confuse us, to deceive us, to draw us in to his lie. That's what's coming. Beware. Don't get sucked into that. And then this other piece that we often talk about. It causes all to be marked by this mark, the mark of the beast, the mark of a person. Nero was one of the people whose name, in however they calculate it, was 666. So what's God saying? He's saying, be wise, be aware. And again, the identification of people as being persons who have power and authority that is beyond that of God. It's the work of Satan. So, did you ever get a stamp on your hand that lets you back into the basketball game when you go out and buy snacks and go to the restroom? Oh, oh, I just got stamped, and now I can go do that and get back. We don't know all of what this may mean, but it's one of those places where Satan's going to try to deceive us into believing that he has authority and power, and he does not. If we were to end here, we might all leave with bent shoulders and bowed heads and worry. But this is not the end of the scripture. There is hope amid the chaos. Verse 10. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. What are we going to have to do? There's going to need to be endurance. There's going to need to be faith. Faith like we've never exercised before. Endurance and faith of the saints. Be wise and understanding to what's going on. Be wise and understanding. Listen to what God's saying here. Listen to the reality, the truth of this battle that's going on. This beast that is coming to deceive us. Don't get sucked into believing that your hope is in political loyalties or powerful people or some kind of spiritual formula. Sometimes we listen to things and there are people who talk about, well, you know, if you're going to stand, you've got to do this, this, and this. Yesterday morning in our men's group, as we're studying the Gospel of John, we were in the passage in which Jesus healed the blind man, and Jesus spit in the dirt, mixed up some mud, and put it on the blind man's eyes and said, I want you to go now to the pool of Siloam and wash. And the blind man did that, and his sight came back. He could see. As we talked about that in our men's group, one of the things that we identified was that Jesus did miracles in many, 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 many different ways. Everything from mixing up mud and having this blind man wash it off to where he saw, to saying, you touched the hem of my garment, you're healed. One of the things we need to remember is the reality that God is at work, and God works in many different ways. Stand firm, endure, exercise faith in God. Psalm 20 again. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. And you can put any other two words in there. Some trust in bank accounts. Some trust in brand new John Deere combines. Some trust in whatever, whatever, whatever. Where's your trust? Where's your hope? Where's your faith? Make sure it's in God and God alone. So what are the reoccurring messages that are here and that we've seen? Number one, there's this reoccurring message of this cosmic war that is raging. This war of God and his angels against Satan and his angels. It's a cosmic war that's out there in the spiritual realms that we don't necessarily see. But there are times that it comes down where we do see it. Where it's here. A second thing that we see that's being spoken of over and over again in Revelation is that our faith as Christians is going to be challenged. What did it take for you this morning to get up, roll out of bed, and come to church? See, that's one of the ways that our faith is going to be challenged. You don't need to do that. It's okay. You don't need that. It's all right. Stay in bed. Have an extra cup of coffee. Go have donuts. Dan brought him to church today. Our faith is going to be challenged. A third thing. Christians, we need to endure and exercise strong faith. I want to go to Ephesians and Paul's letter to the Ephesians and read from chapter 6 and verses 10 through 20. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, and he could be speaking to us today. Finally, family of God here at 11th and Buckeye, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Okay? The devil is scheming. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, the battle that we're waging is a battle that goes on here as well as in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. What's being said in what we read in Revelation? Endurance, folks, and faith, so that you can stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, we think we've done everything, stand firm. Do it some more with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Endure. Be strong. Put on the full armor of God. The revelation is that revelation that John received. And he talks to us about what's coming. Paul talked to the Ephesians about the same stuff. About the reality of this spiritual battle that all of us are in. So folks, it's a heavenly battle that's raging now that we don't necessarily see. It's a spiritual battle here, now, with us every day. We need to see and understand. We need to be wise. We need to hear. And finally, God is going to be victorious. Folks, things look terrible. But the truth is that God is going to be the victor. And with that, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Stand with me as we sing.